Wolf for the call of the second half.
Ryan, thank you very much. Let's take a look at the stats in the first half of the Hawks dominating this contest. First of all, total offense for Hartley, 332 yards. Independence with 35 yards. 273 rushing for the Hawks, 59 in the air, 23 on the ground for the 76ers, 12 passing the football for Independence. First downs, 13-2 in favor of the Hawks. Penalties, 7 for 70 against the Hawks, 6 for 38 against Independence, but no miscues, no turnovers in the first half. Individually for the Hawks, Carter 15 carries, 114 yards and a touchdown. Blackman, 6 carries, 23 yards, 3 touchdowns. Dankow, 3 carries, 84 yards and a touchdown. Carfagna, 2 of 3 passing for 59 yards. For Independence, Taylor, 12 carries but only 38 yards. This is a guy that's rushed for over 200 yards in 7 contests so far this season. Blow, 2 of 6 passing for 12 yards. 23 plays from scrimmage for Independence, 11 for 0 or negative yards. Yeah. Larry?
Well, one of the things I said earlier was that we know about the explosiveness of this Hartley offense. It's their defense. It's suffocating. They get all their run fits. They do the things they're supposed to do. And if you get a big play against this Hartley defense, it's time to celebrate because it just doesn't happen very often.
And remember, too, Independence will get the ball to start the second half, but also will have the continuous clock in effect for the second half. Well, the margin is greater than 30 points. Also, the play clock, which got stuck there at 25, has been mercifully shut off for now. And that will not be a factor here in the second half. I think it just froze to death, actually, is what happened.
It's very possible.
So it's not alone in that regard. So Matteo Agresti now on the field for the Hawks, has the football. And, Larry, touch on this field again. This is the first year for this surface at Derby, right?
We saw them putting this in all summer. And it just, the workforce was out here and the amount of sand and gravel and all the things that go underneath this surface. It's such a beautiful surface. It's just going to be a wonderful thing for Derby.
And Mateo has it up, teed at the near hash, and right to left he goes with the boot. It is high. It is going to go down at the 10-yard line, and that's where the return from Jones is going to start across the 20, the 25, up to the 30-yard line near the 31. Took it to the helmet there, and we are underway in the second half. Independence looking to find some kind of continuity in offense, down by 37. With Taylor at running back, we mentioned the fact that he came into this contest with some astronomical numbers and was the District D3 Offensive Player of the Year. He had 2,394 yards rushing, so he's over 2,400 yards rushing on the campaign.
Well, a lot of times when you're playing defense against a back like that, it fires you up because you know that you're going to get a chance to measure yourself against the very best in the area. And he's had a wonderful season, and you know, you're talking about over 2,000 yards rushing. So, you know, you can do the math on that. That's a lot of rushing.
Keontae Blow at quarterback to start things off. A wide out to the bottom of the formation now, and Curry, one to the top two. Taylor, the lone back in the backfield. He will get the handoff and will take it off the left-hand side and get it up to around the 33-yard line. Picks up about 3 on the play before he's knocked down. Second down and 7 from there.
Now, what I'm noticing is a lot of JV players are now getting on the field for Hartley. And they're keeping their front three, but they've made wholesale substitutions in their secondary because they really think like Independence is going to run the ball more than they're going to pass the ball with the running clock.
Well, Keron Anderson, in fact, made the hit on the play, number 34, a name you don't hear that often, at 5'10", 205, and just a sophomore. Second down, we'll call it closer to 8 now for the 76ers. 10:47 left to go. Blow wants to throw. Actually, it's Taylor throwing downfield. The pass is caught. It's McCarroll all the way down to the 30-yard line and knocked down at the 29, maybe the 28. Big gainer before he's knocked down by Braylon Mitchell.
Brad's seen enough. He's putting his starters back in. You know, these young kids get a chance to play, and they just break a coverage like that. You can't have that. I mean, if you want your opportunity to play on Friday night, when you get your chance, you have to play. And I know Brad's not going to be very happy about that, and he's meeting with his kids as they come off the field, and I guarantee he's letting them know.
38 yards on that completion. Coach Birchfield not too thrilled. We're trying to get all the starters back on the field there. The handoff takes it off the right-hand side to get it inside the 25 to maybe the 24-yard line. At that time, it's Collins to carry. Drew had 2 early carries in the first half. Has it right inside the 25-yard line. So he'll pick up about 4 on the play, second down and 6.
You know, one of the funny things that happens, having coached for a lot of years, is sometimes when you put young kids in, they prove why they're not out there. You know, sometimes they just help you make that decision.
Sprint draw handoff. It goes on the play to Taylor. DeMonte gets it to the 25. And maybe inside the 24-yard line, that's about it. Short gain on the play before he's knocked down. Hit made by number 63, and that is Anthony Majewski.
Well, now the wholesale substitutions are back in, so now that the Jays have another chance at third and five to stop this.
And the ball resting just inside the 24-yard line. 9:18 and ticking here in the second half. Jones, the last man on the field, is a wideout. Blow the quarterback, breaks the huddle. He's got backs from an eye, actually an offset eye, and Collins and Taylor. Taylor gets nothing because Blow keeps and looks and rolls and throws the passage short at the 7-yard line. Was it caught or did it hit the turf? They're going to say it hit the turf intended on the play for Caleb Jones. So the rollout on the waggle there, and that time nice fake to Taylor rolling left because Blow looked downfield for Jones and the pass just underthrown.
He didn't get his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage and he was still turned sideways and trying to run right to left and trying to throw right to left and he couldn't get it all done.
Quaison Griffin will check into the offensive line. And
as silly as this is going to sound, it's a big play for the Hartley defense because they want to keep this 30-point lead. And if Independence should score and go for two, that would force Brad Birchfield to put his starters back in to get it back up to 30 to keep the clock running.
Taylor readjusts to the backfield now. Two-way wide to the top, one to the bottom. Blow under center. Going to roll. Dump to Devontae. He's got it inside the 25, inside the 20, 15, down near the 10-yard line, and has a first down for the 76ers with 8:04 left to go.
That was just a tiny little swing pass. It was more like a toss sweep, if you will.
And the ball is touching the 10-yard line, so it'll be first and goal from the 10 with 7:54 left to go here in quarter number three. Bishop Hartley on top in this one by a count of 37-0. Zorante Irvin will check in as a fullback on the play, and they keep it on the ground, and they get the ball inside the 5-yard line, Larry, all the way down near the 3. As that time, it's Collins on the carry.
Well, Collins got in that pile there, and I kind of lost him for a minute, and then he squirted out the other end. I thought he had been tackled at about the 7, but he just kept his feet and got all the way down to about the 3.
Second and goal from there. As Maciejewski and Amaya check out. Second and goal, 3-yard line. And they'll keep it on the ground again. The 76ers wrap it to the line. And on the keeper play, they're going to take it in for the touchdown with 7:12 left to go. Put 6 on the board, make it 37-6 in this contest in favor of Bishop Hartley. But the 76ers get on the board. They get the touchdown. And now, as we mentioned, they do not kick extra points.
The 76ers have scored.
Delron McCarroll kicks off, but that's about it. His average kickoff goes to the 25-yard line. So they go for 2 every time after a touchdown. Maciejewski is going to check into the defensive front now. So they put some of the size back in and starting size, if you will, for the Hawks on this try for 2. Blow brings him up the line. One back in the backfield. That's Taylor. And the handoff goes to Devontae, and he's not going to do it. He tries to back his way into the end zone, but he's held up inside the 2-yard line. The try for 2 is negated. 37-6 is where we stand. 7:12 left to go in the third quarter on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Bob Boyd Auto Family here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, my name is Vince DeAndrea. I'm a sales manager at Miracle Motor Mart. I'm inviting you to come out and take a look at the awesome low-mileage vehicles at either of our two locations. We have around 400 cars, trucks, and SUVs to choose from. We have great prices and a friendly sales team whose number one goal is to put you and your family into a vehicle that you're going to love for years. Visit our website today at MiracleMotorMart.com.
So Blow takes it in for the touchdown, 3 yards out. The run failed on the two-point try. 8 plays, 69 yards, 4:48 off the clock. It's now 37-6, and you are listening to WVSG, Columbus St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Surprised by the in-and-out substitution by Coach Birchfield on defense there?
No, I think he understands that the game is not in question. He wants to get his younger kids some playing time, but at the same time, he just wants to make sure his starters stay healthy. It's a cold, cold night, and anything can happen.
Line drive kick's going to roll inside the 20-yard line, scooped up at the 19, right up the middle, across the 30, up to the 36, maybe the 37-yard line on the return that time by Elijah Carter. So he'll return it some 18 yards, and the Hawks will have it first and 10, up 31, 5 minutes in the second half. And again, since the margin is still greater than 30 points, 30 or greater, we should add, the Hawks will have that continuous clock to help shorten this contest.
Good chance for your backup quarterback to get some work here with the first-team offensive line and some first-team running backs, and that's exactly what they're going to do here.
Hawks will have it first and 10 from the 37-yard line for Miles Fleming, the 6-foot, 175-pound sophomore. He's got one man in motion. He will keep right up the gut. We've seen his speed before. Boy, he got tripped up, but barely. A guy that got a hand in there on his ankle was Durante Irvin as he made the scoop right up the middle. Otherwise, he's still running.
Durante may have saved as much as a touchdown. I'm telling you, there was a gaping hole, and Durante just tripped him up the last second.
The inside linebacker, 23 solos, 31 assists, 14 tackles for a loss, 7 sacks, 1 interception. He's caused 3 fumbles, gain of 4, 2nd and 6, 6:23 and ticking in the third. Hawks up 37-6 in this one. Two backs in the backfield, and this time the handoff. Little opening off the left-hand side. Handoff goes to number 12. That's Jalen January, who takes the football for a short gain for the 27th time this season. The 5'10 sophomore has had a chance to handle the football.
We saw Jalen January earlier in the year, and he looked very impressive. I think it was against Kilbourne we saw him, and he had a very nice game. So they have tremendous depth and quality running backs.
January has 4 touchdowns on the ground, most notably a 3-yard run against Shaw. It is now third down, and we'll call it 3 from the 44. Toss sweep near side. January's got the first down midfield, 45, 40. Down the sidelines, 30, 25, 20, 15, and can he stay in bounds? Waiting for the call, touchdown! Jalen January, tightrope to sidelines, carry defender the last 5 yards, and takes it in for the score.
We were just talking about his explosiveness and his ability to run, and I'll tell you what, he hit the corner and it was see you later, and he actually outran one of the defensive backs into the end zone, jumped on his back at about the 5-yard line, and he carried him all the way in.
56 yards on that touchdown run by Jalen January. He scores for the 5th time this season. 5'10 sophomore. They say will be great. Folks, we think he is already, and now it's extra point time for Mateo Agresti, and a chance now to see that lead cushion out, and let's see if indeed it is Mateo still out there. Yep, they thought they might change that up and even bring in Mr. Price, but Agresti for the extra point. Snap, kick, it is up, plenty of leg, and count it. And the Hawks add to their lead with 5:33 left to go here. They are now up in this contest by a count of 44-6. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Bob Boyd Auto Family on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union is your total mortgage source. Whether you are looking to buy your first home, refinance your existing home, or take advantage of your home's equity, we are a mortgage lender you can trust. We take pride in providing the most comprehensive line of mortgage products at very competitive rates and terms. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 811029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Randy Jerome Buckner has his second touchdown of the night. This one a 62-yard touchdown run, and Gahanna has a 14-7 lead over Liberty.
Gahanna's my surprise in what they've done in D1. I didn't think they'd survive Orange, and they got by them, and they keep motoring along. They have kind of been a stock market team for me in the past.
Up and down, week to week, and you're never quite sure what you're going to get, but maybe they found that magic potion right now. This is a good time of the year to find it.
January ends a three-play, 63-yard drive, took 1:27 off the clock. There's the kickoff. Jones has got it at the 9, nearly stepped out of bounds near sidelines, 10, 15, 20, has a gap, stiff arms, he gets out to the 24-yard line, and we got a flag behind the play, back at the 19-yard line.
That was a block in the back that time by number 21, David Stanford. He had the Hartley defender locked up from behind and just simply couldn't make that. That was January trying to make the tackle, and he couldn't do it.
So the penalty with 5:15 left to go. Going to back up the 76ers. We do have one touchdown here in the second half. A team that came in with the same mark as the Hawks at 10-1 on the campaign. Coached by Maurice Douglas in his 8th year. And a guy that was an assistant one time, too, under Mark Mohannon when Bo was running things. Played at the University of Kansas. Covered him when he was a high school player at Independence. Was also in the New York Giants camp, but was later cut. So with the penalty, we're going to start from right inside the 10-yard line. First and 10 from there with 5 minutes left to go. Direct snap. It goes to Taylor, and he gets up to the 14-yard line before he's tossed down on the play.
The ball carrier,
so a gain of nearly 5 before he's dropped on the play by Nathaniel Amaya. Looking to the Amaya fan section. They're happy. The 62 part of the 62-77 jersey is cheering right now. Second down and five with 4:37 left to go. Sprint out with two wideouts to the top, one to the bottom, a wing to the bottom, one back in the backfield, blowback in a quarterback, rolls left, guns across middle, pass incomplete, hit the target right in his breadbasket, and McCarroll unable to corral the football.
Well, it hit him in a bad spot, hit him right in the hands, and it was a perfect throw. It's just, it's a cold night. I was talking to some of the folks. I went out of the press box for a little bit to talk to a few folks at halftime, and they were just frigid out there. Their feet were cold, their hands were cold, they couldn't feel their legs.
So basically, it's cold is what you're saying, right?
I'm guessing it's a little cold. It's cold in here. It's like standing in a refrigerator. Not that I've done that very often, but I'm just saying.
So it is now third down and five from the 15-yard line with 3:50 left to go. Blow rolls left. Looks, guns long downfield. Double coverage there. The pass knocked around and incomplete. At the 47-yard line. Double coverage back there on the wide receiver, number 9, Jalen Moore.
Well, it's pretty good coverage. Obviously, the free safety got all the way over. That ball was in the air about 40 yards, 35 to 40 yards, and it was hanging. So it gave the safety a lot of time to cover the ground and ended up being double coverage.
So now it is fourth down and five. I assume down by some 38 points. You'll punt it here?
Yeah, yes. Although it is fourth and five. And you had the best running back in Central, had DeMonte Taylor, Division III running back.
Standing back as the punter, allegedly, back at the 5-yard line. Now retreats back to the 3, now to the 2. Back foot near the 1-yard line, in fact. And they snap into the up man instead, who gets it across the 10, 15, 20. He'll have the first down across the 24 up to the 25-yard line. Durante Irvin, the up man, gets the snap, and he gets the first down.
Well, if you're only going to punt it 20 yards, you know, the difference between getting the ball at the 35 or 40 and getting the ball at the 25 or 30 is not a significant difference.
So the 76ers maintain possession with that continuous clock. We've evaporated nearly 10 minutes of stanza number 3, down to 2:22 left to go. 44-6, Hartley leads in this one, looking to advance to the regional finals. Too wide to the bottom, rolling right. Is Blow. Keontae looks. There's a flag down. Throws it back across. Wide open to the 40-yard line as McCarroll cuts left then right. Gets across midfield down to the 46-yard line. But we'll see if this is coming back or not with 2:05 left to go.
Ron McCarroll with the reception. Oh, but there is a flag.
On the offense. Holding on the offense.
Holding on the offense. You could hear it from the fan, Mike. Holding on the offense.
Yeah, I was wondering where that noise was coming from. I didn't think our official was shouting all the way up here. It's probably that Amaya group down here.
So, with the penalty against the 76ers, we'll mark the ball back inside the 20-yard line. I'm getting people texting. They're listening from the game all over the place. I've got a listener in Sherman Oaks, California, that's listening to the game right now. They wanted me to know that it was 79 degrees right now.
Oh, yeah. Are they golfing?
He doesn't golf.
Well, good. I feel better about that. He's sailing.
His life has been in a bunker, though, I'll tell you that.
He's sailing. It's too warm to golf. He's sailing.
First and a furlong from back of the 10-yard line. They need 24 yards. Rolling is Blow, dumping underneath. Pass is incomplete. Very nicely timed on the hit as it was intended for Taylor. As soon as the ball got there, he got drilled on the play by Anthony Whitney.
Well, the problem is they had two receivers within about 2 yards of each other, and he wasn't even covering the receiver to whom the ball was thrown. He was covering the other one, and he just came off of the one and drilled the other. You think they're going to...
Timeout was taken on the field by Independence. So they'll burn a timeout, and you know what? I think we will, too, right here on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Bob Boyd Auto Family on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
My name is Attorney Ed Malik of the law firm of Malik & Malik. We are a family law firm with family values. I am proud to practice law together with my 3 sons, Kip, Douglas, and James. Our entire family has attended DeSales, Westerville North, or St. Charles High Schools. It would be Malik and Malik's privilege to discuss with you work-related injuries and auto crash injuries. Thank you. Protecting you since 1972.
New Albany has scored. They have extended their lead to 14-6 over Walnut Ridge. And Wheelersburg has scored also. Academy still leads, though, 13-7.
I'll tell you what, football's religion down in the Berg. Had a chance to call them in the state championship game. I want to say it was back in 88. Yours truly and Gary
yes.
Danielson when they beat JFK out
yes,
of Warren.
It was 88. I remember it well.
It was the Miller twins, and Coach Miller had his two sons playing for him as well, too. They were a tough team to deal with back then, and Denny Zolchak and company just did not have enough to deal with the Millers running things for the Berg. So now it is back at the 10-yard line. It is second down and 24. Blow rolling right. Keontae looking, gunning across the middle. Has his man across the 20, up near the 30-yard line. Pass is complete, and the knee touched it around the 29-yard line on the play for Caleb Jones.
Actually pretty good coverage by Patty Page on that one. The ball was perfectly thrown, hitting right in stride, and there was nothing he could do about it.
So mark the ball just across the 30-yard line. It'll be third down and four from there. And that could be the last play of the third quarter. We'll see. They rapidly normally snap within 5 seconds. They look at the clock and see if they get it off in time. McCarroll lost his mouthpiece and has to pick it up. And by the time he does, that's the end of the quarter. He was going to head off to the side and go to the sidelines, but that will end the third quarter. So Hartley leads 44-6. We'll pause and be back with quarter number four here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM820.
Knights of Columbus Insurance, world's most ethical company, as recognized by the Ethisphere Institute, offering life, long-term care, and disability insurance, along with IRAs and Roth IRAs. Knights of Columbus, a trusted insurance agency with the AM Best A++ Superior Ratings. Contact their general agents, James Valent and Chad Osterholt, at kfc.org.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus can help you get to a better state, because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help put together a policy that has you written all over it. From costs to coverage, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus and officially get to a better state with State Farm.
The news is a little better for Licking Valley. They score a touchdown, but they still trail John Glenn 33-20.
And here it's all Hartley 44-6 as we start the fourth quarter. It is third down and four from the 30 for the 76ers. They're going to hand it off to Taylor. He's got the first down and then some out across the 38 near the 39-yard line. That will move the chains for the 76ers. Total offense after three quarters. The Hawks 395, Independence 137, 336. Rushing for the Hawks, 59 in the air, 54 on the ground for the 76ers, 83 yards passing. I would say a large share of those yards for the 76ers came in that very abbreviated third quarter.
Well, this DeMonte Taylor is a very impressive-looking running back. I mean, he gets his pads out over his feet. He does a nice job with a forward lean. He's a flasher,
flasher. Two to the bottom, one to the top, one back in the backfield right now. One man in motion, that's Collins, who in stride wanted to get the ball. He does not, though, as Blow looks across the middle. Overthrows the intended receiver, McCarroll, at the 48-yard line. Coverage on the play for the Hawks by number 10, Antonio Tucker.
And Antonio Tucker was about a step behind. That pass should have been completed. It was open. If he hits him in stride, he might still be running, because they were man coverage all across the field. And if he'd have caught that, it'd been one of those 8 or 9 yard passes that turns into a 30 or 40 yard play.
Larry, even though you'll freeze in the post game, we may have you in bed by 10:30 tonight.
I'm going to go to sleep up here. I'm not waiting.
Second down and 10, handoff Taylor around the right side and churns and keeps pushing. It gets away from defenders at the 44-yard line, across midfield to the 50, and falls forward to the 47-yard line of the Hawks. And he went into a little pile there at the 44, bounced off of that like a pinball, and Larry came out with a huge gain, gets the first down.
It's 44-6, and he doesn't care. He's still giving max effort on every play. This is really an impressive
And a handoff on first down. Nothing doing that time off the right-hand side. A great job by the interior, that Hawk defense. As soon as Taylor tried to turn the corner, there was pursuit there in the person of big number 57. Walter Carricker III made the hit on the play. And Carricker is a guy 5'11 and 265, so he's got the frame, and he is but a junior. Second down and 10. Low rolling left. Keontae's got room. He'll just tuck and run. 45-40 and brought down right at the 40-yard line. Ripped down there on the play by number three, and that is Marwan Perkins.
Well, Marwan hit him right up around the shoulder pads and spun him down hard.
And we've got a player down for Independence right at the 50-yard line with 9:33 left to go, so that will stop the clock despite the 30-plus point differential. And Blow is slow to come off the field. Remember, early in the first half, he was limping. He's limping now, and there's still a player down at the 50-yard line. So looks like Keontae's less than 100%, and we still have the player down at the 50-yard line.
You know, we talked about in the pregame, this is one of the smallest teams in terms of numbers that we've done all year. And this Independence team, 25, 28, whatever their numbers are there, it doesn't really matter. Those kids play hard. They're relentless. They're just a little bit outclassed tonight, and that's just the nature of the beast. It happens, and that's the way it is tonight. But I'm impressed with the way they play.
Well, I asked for two deeps every week, too, and Maurice told me, he said, let me do this. Let me give you two other linemen, because we have two other linemen, and that's it.
Well, what people don't understand, and I coached in small schools most of my career, is you have to even adjust practices. You know, you're doing half-line stuff. You're doing all the right side of your offense and all the left side of your defense against each other because they're the same kids. They're the same players. They go both ways, and so you get half the line, and it's tough to practice. But you have to be a little bit more creative, a little bit more inventive, and some of these guys that coach in schools where you have 80 or 90 players, and, you know, you've got a freshman, a JV, a varsity team, and you've got scout teams and all that stuff, it's a little bit easier to organize practice.
Tell Ron McCarroll, the tight end slash wideout, was the injured player. Got to his feet. He's limping off the field. Heads to the sidelines now. The clock rotates again with 9:20 left to go. 44-6. Bishop Hartley up. The ball rests at the Hawk 40-yard line. Independence has it. Third down and three from there. Backs offset. It's Taylor time. Inside the 35. Nice cut inside the 30. Down to the 28, maybe the 27, and has enough for the first down.
He was weaving his way between tacklers, going full speed, and his shoulders were low to the ground. I mean, he has tremendous hips. He's a good-looking running back.
A lot of second-teamers still out there for the Hawks on defense, and even if Independence would score here, Larry, and get the two-point conversion, right, it would still be a 30-point cushion.
Correct.
So 44-6, first and 10 now for the 76ers. Mark the ball at the 28-yard line of the Hawks. Jones, one of the two wideouts at the bottom of the formation. Backs offset on the rollout. Pass downfield is going to bounce into the breadbasket of the wideout, the far side of the field. As Blow was giving ground, there was pressure in his face, and he tried to roll to his right and then throw back a little bit and couldn't get the ball into the hands of Taylor.
Well, Antonio Tucker came off the edge, off the left defensive end that time. And he came hard into the quarterback's face. He wasn't buying any of the fakes. He wasn't buying any of the run fakes to the opposite side, and he just got the quarterback right in the...
Montrell Curry is wide to the bottom. Handoff goes to Taylor. Monte off the right side. Tries to get it back to the left a little bit and got down to around the 21-yard line before he's corralled by a number of Hartley Hawks, including Big John Anderson.
One of the secrets to Hartley, too, is the fact that all these kids that are seniors have now played 4 and 5 extra games every year. So they've got an extra season in. They've practiced for an extra 4 or 5 weeks every year for 3 years. And so they've basically got an extra season of football in. And so that kind of seasoning, that kind of experience helps them tremendously in a game like this.
Jacob Miller checks in. 15th play of the dry. Handoff, Collins. Collins inside the 15, inside the 10, down near the 6-yard line before he's brought down. First and goal, 76ers, as Collins with a nice gain off the right side, then cut it further outside before he's knocked down on the play. And he's got a first down hit made on the play by Braylon Mitchell.
Well, there's a new defensive lineman in for Hartley now, freshman, Sammy Ray. 6 feet and 215-pound freshman.
First and goal from the 6, backs offset. It's Taylor around the right-hand side, gets it inside the 5-yard line. And gets it inside the 2-yard line. Stays in bounds, so we'll keep the clock percolating here with 6:50 left to go. So mark the ball right at the 2-yard line. Second and goal from there. Hartley up 44-6, waiting for a contest next week in the regional final. Will it be Bell Fountain, do you think? Will they keep it on the ground? Do they take it in for the touchdown? Yes. Count it for the score.
Quarterback Keontae Blow just on a quarterback sneak there.
Blow for the second time in this contest gets a touchdown. That is his 13th on the campaign rushing. And they cut into the lead now at 44-12. And I'm going to guess they're going to go for two.
if they can't kick it, what are their choices? They can't go for three, so.
I feel bad for Montrell Curry. I don't think he's seen a huddle all night here while he's been in there. He's been wide to the bottom of the set almost every time.
The only Army lonesome end, remember that?
They look to the right on the fade pattern, but the receiver fell down. Can he adjust to the football? And flags on the play. The catch is good, they say, for the two-point try. So count it for two. Let's see who the flag is on.
It's going to be a pass interference, I think, on Hartley.
And McCarroll, who was injured earlier, makes the catch, and he kept the football.
That was a heck of an effort because he originally came off the line, got chucked by the defender, slipped and fell, got back up, got interfered by the defender, and still caught the ball on the fade route.
The touchdown and then the two-point try, and the cushion now is back to 30 at 44-14 with 6.5 left to go. Do you bring any more starters back in right now if you're Brad Birchfield?
No. You'll let the younger kids play now because even if they don't get a first down and pump the football, it's not a big deal. It's going to be down to the last couple minutes of the game anyhow.
Antonio Tucker is back deep along with TJ Johnson. And that drive was the longest one of the night. 17 plays, 90 yards, 10:45 off a rapidly moving clock. Blow from 2 yards out, and the pass to McCarroll. And there's the penalty assessed against the Hawks on the kickoff. So Independence will now kick it off from the 45 of Bishop Hartley. So I assume an onside kick here?
Onside kick, sure.
McCarroll's got it teed up at 45 near hash with 6.5 left.
And if you're Hartley, you just want this game to end so you can get on to business for next week. It's no longer in doubt. It hasn't been in doubt for a while. You just want to get out of this without any injuries, and nobody else has to go out and play.
Come on, let's go.
And they'll kick it deep. And Johnson lost the handle. He went down to a knee, I thought, and then scooped it up and then got up again and then went down at around the 13-yard line. So I'm not sure if it's the ball and the knee did not sink, and perhaps maybe he did not have possession of the ball when the knee touched or
not. He was chasing the ball around on the ground there, so I don't think he ever quite had possession of it.
So he finally corralled it inside the 14-yard line. The Hawks will have possession there with 6:18 left to go and up by 30 in this one. And thank everybody at Hilliard Darby for giving us the best seat in the house. By the way, we're smack dab at the 50-yard line.
It pays to know people.
Larry Wolf used to teach here and now subs here, right?
Occasionally. I was there today subbing. It's kind of fun to be back, see some of the kids, and do all that good stuff.
Some contended you were subbing when you were actually here as a teacher, but that has not been proven factually yet.
Well,
first and 10 from inside the 14-yard line. They'll hand it off and get it up to maybe the 15-yard line. That's about it. Short gain on the play.
Guilty of impersonating a teacher for 4 years.
You can't prove that, Rusty. Checking into the contest now is TJ Johnson. 5:45 left to go.
And what Hartley wants to do is slow this thing down now, wait, and let the clock run so that they're not snapping the ball every 10 or 12 seconds. They've got 25 seconds now. Just watch the back judge. Wait for him to put his hand up and then snap the ball at 5 seconds or less.
Second down now for the Hawks. And they lose the handle and pick it up. By the way, quarterback right now for the Hawks in this possession is Luke Carney. Carney lost the handle, then picked it up and tried to make something out of nothing and got it up past the 17-yard line. So it'll be third down from there. Carney, the signal caller for the Hawks at 5'11", 165, and but a sophomore. So it'll be third down. And they need close to seven, under 5 minutes left to go. A tight end in there. Number 34, Kieron Anderson. See, readjust. Hawks looking to the sidelines, get the play information. And the play clock kind of froze in the first half, so we don't have the luxury of the play clock here in the second half. Hawks with that tight set, one wide out to the top of the formation. Carney and the entire right side of the offensive line kind of did a domino. And flags fly in the field with 4:20 left to go.
As bad as the penalty is, it actually takes an extra 25 or 30 seconds off the clock here because it's a continuous clock. So it's not necessarily a bad thing for the Hawks.
So the next time they snap the ball, there'll be less than 4 minutes left to play in this one.
If you could do this right, you could take enough penalties to run out the clock.
But there you go.
I think at some point
sounds like
catch
a Canadian football rule to me, but you know,
hey.
One man in motion. Hand off, making the turn around the corner, turning upfield across the 10-yard line and scooting out of bounds after Short gain on the play is Antonio Tucker. So Tucker will get it up to around the 13 or 14 yard line with 3:40 left to go with ticking here. Punting situation or not here?
Yeah, it's a punting situation.
I should ask this question. Will they punt?
Yes.
Okay.
I will definitively say they will punt this time. Which probably means they'll probably fake it for a touchdown or something crazy will happen.
That would mean, I think, that Carney would come back in to punt then because they like their quarterbacks to punt, so Carney's back there, standing back at the three-yard line. A little bit of a high snap goes to his right and gets a whirly bird that will go out of bounds somewhere.
That looked like one of my wedges, shankopotamus.
That just kind of hooked around a couple times. I think they're going to put it near the 25-yard line. There's a flag on the field.
They're probably in an illegal formation, I think.
It's at the 12-yard line, a procedural call indeed against the Hawks. So with 2:59 left to go. First down, Independence. All right, if you're the 76ers, you're down by 30. You want to make something happen again, I assume, and
sure.
Try to make a statement late in this game?
Well, you just want, you know, it's another opportunity for another player to score a touchdown, and you're really only concerned about your kids at this point. The game's no longer in doubt. You just want your kids to have a positive experience, and if they can score another touchdown, that, you know, that's good for somebody.
Larry, I just want to say, if I don't see you again, it's been nice to know you as you head out into the frozen tundra down
I'll
there.
I'll be the block of ice standing down there on the field.
All right, first and 10 from the 25 for Blowing Company with 2:47 and ticking. One man in motion, fakes the handoff, looks long downfield for Taylor. Inside the five, did he catch the ball in bounds? That's the question. They say no, he caught the ball out of bounds, incomplete, 2:34 and ticking.
Well, I think I'm going to make my exit out of here to talk to Coach Brad Birchfield, and I'll get my sled dogs, and we'll be ready. And I'll be back up here in about 2-3 weeks.
Godspeed, Larry Wolf. We'll see you. That was Larry Wolf, ladies and gentlemen, leaving the auditorium. So it's now second down and 10 from the 25 with 2:12 left to go. Keontae blows, got one back in the backfield. That is Taylor. Keontae gets the handoff around the left-hand side, cuts inside the 25 to the 20-yard line, brought down there. Picks up about 5 on the play before the hit is made by a couple blocks right at the 20-yard line, leading the charge for Hartley, number 34 on the play. That's Kieron Anderson, so it'll be second down and make that third down in 5 from there with 1:48 left to go in regulation. Curry wide to the top, 2 wide to the bottom. Collins in motion, bottom to top. Taylor at quarterback throws it across the middle. The pass incomplete, intended for McCarroll at the 5-yard line. A Hawk there with the pause to knock it down right at the 5, the person of number 8. And that's Ryan Huser. Huser's got some picks on the season. That time had a chance for a pass that was thrown up by Taylor. So Taylor had a chance to throw it that time, and it falls incomplete. So now it's 4th down and 5 with 1:10 left to go. Last gasp, if you will, for Independence. Blow at quarterback now, rolling right, looking, gunning underneath to McCarroll. He's got the catch. Can he get to the 15-yard line? He cannot. He's brought down at the 16, and that will do it. The Hawks will get it back with 1 minute left to go. And if they run a play, they will just take a knee and call it a game and move on to the regional final next week. So the Hawks will change from defense to offense. And Larry will change into his long underwear as he heads down to the field right now, getting ready for his post-game interview. I thought he left already. He's just leaving now. So Larry's heading down. With 56 seconds left to go, the Hawks coming up the line of scrimmage. They have one deep back standing back at the 10-yard line. But if they time this just right, they may only have to run one play. They'll wait for the back judge to peer across the line of scrimmage. Or they take the knee. They haven't gone down, and we got flags on the play. The Hawks came up to the line of scrimmage. They didn't snap the ball yet. But one of the Independence players said it was touched by the Hawks, so they're saying that it was a snap, and Independence should get the football. Interesting. The Hawks came up, touched the ball, and they're saying that, you know, once they did that, that was possession and a snap by Bishop Hartley, so Independence then had one of their defensive linemen go ahead and jump onto the football and corralled it. They're waving off a flag, and indeed Independence is going to get the ball back now with 28.1 seconds left to go. So a change of possession. It goes back now to the 76ers. So when you thought the opportunity to score was done, Independence may have another chance. But it's just window dressing right now with the margin of 30 points. The Hawks need another player. And a late man will check onto the field. Larry Wolf heading down to the field right now. Larry, what's the environment like down there?
It's cold. It's going to stay cold, and I'm getting cold.
And you are cold, and blow back the throw. Trying to get hot in the end zone, and the pass knocked away in the end zone with 12 seconds left to go on the far side of the field. And, Larry, it looks like that will be the last play of the game with 7 seconds left to go. No more snaps for Independence. They will call it a game, and the Hawks roll on. They'll move on to the regional final as they get by Independence by a count of 44-14 in this one. What a contest by Bishop Hartley. And, you know, you go back to that play in the first quarter that Philip Cole made on the long pass. It was a little underthrown. He worked his way back to the football, and what could have been an interception for Independence turned into a big gainer for the Hawks. And after that, Bishop Hartley never looked back. They had the 30-point cushion. They get the victory. Let's go down to Larry Wolf on the field, who's standing by with the head coach of the Hawks.
I'm down here with Brad Birchfield. And it's been a cold night here, but the Hawks were warm all night. 44 to 14. Your defense was stifling all night.
Really challenged them to take away that run game. And number two was such a great player. And 57 was such a great lineman. And I'm really proud of what they did. I mean, they did a great job.
Well, they had some outstanding running backs. Obviously, Demontre is one of the best running backs in Central Ohio. He's an outstanding player. But your defense chased him all night. They forced him to go laterally, not to get his shoulders north and south. I thought your defense was tremendous. But your offense, your offense does. It was efficient all night long. It's cold. It's hard to hold on to the ball, but your kids didn't struggle like that.
No, they were committed to taking away power. They were committed to taking away all tackle on inside, and we still were able to get, obviously, some in there, but really the perimeter was what opened up for us quite a bit this week, and we were excited to take it.
You ran the edges right off the tackle, tight end box for a while, but they jammed that up pretty good, and then you went wide, and there just was no answer for the cutback once you got wide.
We thought we could outnumber them a little bit more there than we could inside. They took away some numbers on the inside. But, you know, they had a good team, and we really had a great week of practice, and excited to move on to week 13.
It's 6 or 7 in a row now. Let's see what we can do next week. Who do you have, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Bell Fountain was up. This is going to be our 8th straight regional championship game, and we're never going to take it for granted. You know, the kids will know that if they win this one, they get to practice on Thanksgiving. That's a big deal for our guys.
Practicing on Thanksgiving is always a big deal. Sure. Always a big deal. Well, congratulations to you and the Hawks, and let's get it done next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, man.
Brad Birchfield and Larry Wolf, thank you, gentlemen, down on the field. Larry will rejoin us in mere moments as Bishop Hartley gets the victory. 44-14 over Independence. The Hawks keep on keeping on as they now go to 11-1 on the campaign. We'll take a break when we come back. More of the post-game show. And don't forget, right after us, it's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show right up until 11 o'clock, presented by thisweeksports.com and Rev Local Digital Marketing. Ryan and Lee have all the scores and highlights and interviews with the coaches right up until 11 p.m. 44-14, Hawks win. We'll take a break right here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Bobby Dawes with Bob Boyd Ford of Lancaster, where our loyal customers have grown to expect great service, and it all starts with the right deal. Now's the time to get into a 2017 Ford F-150 and save $13,033 off MSRP. Or get $5,000 off a new 2017 Ford Escape. Plus 0 for 72 months, plus $1,000 off on a 2017 Ford Fusion. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com. And remember, the best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals.
Education First Credit Union offers our members a variety of products and services to meet all their financial needs.
Since 1936, our values haven't changed. It's always been about putting our members' financial best interests first.
Becoming a member of Education First Credit Union is easy.
Simply visit us online, in person, or give us a call. Together, we are better.
Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from MiracleMotorMart.com. Go to our website and see about 400 vehicles at great prices. Financing for all credit situations. 28 years serving our community. Largest independent in the state by number of cars sold. Save big, but don't wait because nothing lasts long at MiracleMotorMart.com. Start online, then visit our two locations, north and east. Great prices, big savings. That's MiracleMotorMart.com.
And welcome back to Hilliard Darby High School. It's all over. Bishop Hartley advances to the regional final, getting by Independence 44-14. I'm Randy Reinhart alongside a very frigid Larry Wolf. And Larry, talk about the field conditions, first of all.
Well, first of all, that surface is about as good a surface as you could ever play on. It is so wonderful. It's soft. It's not like the old AstroTurf that used to be rock hard and, you know, painted green over asphalt. This is a beautiful facility here at Darby, and it's really my first chance to see it since they put it in this summer. But It's cold out there, really cold.
I'll let you catch your breath. I'll go over some of the final stats in this contest. Total offense, Hartley 368 to 216 for Independence. Rushing 339 for Hartley. Most of those in the first half, obviously, passing 59 yards. Independence breaks down this way. They passed for 87. They ran for 129, and nearly all of those in the second half. First downs, 14 to 9 in favor of the Hawks. At one time, I think it was 12 to 1 first downs in favor of the Hawks. Penalties, 9 for 90 against Hartley. So if you want to coach them up, that's something the Hawks can work on. 8 for 58 for Independence. One turnover there, and that was right near the end where the ball was touched and then given back to Independence. And you take a look at it for Bishop Hartley, 37-0 was the tally at the end of the first two quarters, Larry, and they never looked back from there.
No, and there was no reason to look back. Brad was trying to get his kids out of that game, get them healthy. Let's move on to game 13, vie for another regional championship. And, you know, they're going to do it at a different division this year. This is, you know, they're a division up, and it's supposed to be harder. Well, they're making it look pretty easy right now.
Give me another minute or so to warm up. We'll take a break and come back one final time on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Bob Boyd Auto Family here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
The other day, one of my kids was talking back, and as the conversation went from bad to worse, I realized he wasn't thinking about what he was saying. He was just mad. His own words were starting to hurt him, and I had a grace-filled moment where I switched from parental rage to compassion. I interrupted him and said, "I forgive you," and hugged him. After a minute, he stopped pushing me away, choked out a few tears, and said, "I'm sorry." We don't have to wait for an apology to forgive someone. Sometimes forgiveness is precisely what gives a person the courage to say, "I'm sorry." And as I reflected on what happened with my son, I realized that's exactly what Jesus did for us. The cross is God shouting to the world, "I forgive you." And we can respond by saying, "No thanks," or saying, "I'm sorry." Our response determines if we receive his forgiveness and our salvation. But mercy is always there for the taking from God, and it should be from us too. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Knights of Columbus Insurance, world's most ethical company, as recognized by the Ethisphere Institute, offering life, long-term care, and disability insurance, along with IRAs and Roth IRAs. Knights of Columbus, a trusted insurance agency with the AM Best A++ Superior Ratings. Contact their general agents, James Valent and Chad Osterholt, at kfc.org.
Salazzo Marble and Granite cheers on our Catholic high school team. Salazzo Marble is Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selection. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 45-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. That's Salazzo Marble, S-O-L-A-Z-Z-O, online at salazzomarble.com.
Final time to Hilliard Darby High School will be the last to leave, but what a contest tonight for Bishop Hartley. The Hawks get the win. They advance to 11-1 and the regional final as they dump Independence 44-14. Randy Reinhart, Larry Wolf, one final time back on top of Hilliard Darby High School. Individual stats in this contest for Independence. Taylor, 21 carries, didn't get the century mark, stopped at 96 yards. Blow, 7 carries, 11 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was 5 of 17 passing for 49 yards. For Hartley, Carter, 15 carries, 114 yards and a touchdown. Blackman carried it 6 times. He scored 3 times, 23 yards, his total on the ground. Dankow, 3 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown. And Carfagna, efficient, 2 of 3 passing for 59 yards. Hartley moves on. Still no final outcome in the other contest, Bell Fountain and Tri-Valley. But what do you take out of this, and what happens next week?
Well, you're talking about a Hartley juggernaut right now on both sides of the ball. The defense is stifling. The offense is efficient. Yeah, they had a lot of penalties tonight, but I'm telling you what, it's frigid down there. They couldn't throw the ball very well. It was 2 out of 3 throwing, but they just shut the passing game down completely and said, we're not going to pass it. We're going to run the ball off the edges, do what we do. This Hartley team looks like they're probably going to make it to another state semifinal.
Sir, it has been an honor. Go get warm, and I will talk to you next week somewhere.
Better be floored.
We will have the Hartley Hawk game next weekend, next Friday night, wherever it may be. We'll have it all right here, so stay tuned. And go to stgabrielradio.com or listen to AMA20 for all the details this next week, all right? Again, the final score one more time. Bishop Hartley beats Independence 44-14. I'll say it one last time. This has been the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Bob Boyd Auto Family here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA20. Good night and God bless.
You have been listening to the CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week has been brought to you by the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Your play-by-play announcer tonight was Randy Reinhart, along with color analyst coach Larry Wolf. Join us again next week as Hartley moves on to the Region 11 Final. We'll be live from the stadium at 7:15. Get all the playoff scores with the AM 820 Scoreboard Show next.